Well, Father, we surely do thank you for being here with us this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you have brought your Holy Spirit into this sanctuary. And you are moving throughout this sanctuary to minister to your people. I thank you for the angelic hosts that are doing their part. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that's doing its part. And I thank you, Father God, that you are in full, total, and complete control of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where are all the men? Where are all the men? Well, I know you're here, but where are all the men? You know, four men by men to all you women. What I'm saying is God's trying to get the men in the house of God. So why don't you women bring your husbands in? I know you can't do that. I know they have to do that on their own, all right? But I have to say this. Why don't you women bring your men into the house of God? I know you're trying. And I know they're not the Holy Spirit. And I know you can't move upon them. But maybe a fry pan would be do good, right? No, prayer is going to take much prayer because God really is trying to bring the men back into the house of God. Into their rightful place. But if all God can move is you women, then he wants to use you women in all of his glory. And as I was sitting here doing praise and worship, God kept telling me that he kept reminding me that the men are not loving their wives like Christ loves the church. And men, if you're listening, you need to start treating your wives like Christ treats them. Much dignity. You need to be their covering. I'm hearing God say you need to start despising the things of the world and loving the things in the heavenly realm. He's talking to the men this morning. You're not going to be able to get by with what you used to get by with, man. God is not going to tolerate just half in and half out. And you women who have husbands who don't want to serve God, saturate yourself with the love of Christ. You just sink into him. Let him be all that you have need of. And just go on and enjoy life. Amen. We know that Jesus never changes, right? We know he's the same today and he'll be the same tomorrow and yesterday. He's just going to be always the same. But if you have a human being, they change from second to second. Right? 1 minute, and I'm talking to all of us now, 1 minute up and next minute down. And God's trying to get us on an even keel. Can we get there this morning? Can we get that to that place in Christ where, you know, oh, you're just happy, and just all of a sudden, you know, somebody says a word and you're not happy anymore. You know, those words should not make you unhappy. We should just stay happy, right? People should see steady, even Christians. And it is hard. I'm not saying anything I say is easy. It is all hard. It's something you have to determine in your heart. This is what I'm going to do. And then just do it. And if the enemy comes and tries to disrupt you, what you decide you're going to do, just tell him to move on, that he has no place in you. And that does work. It really does work. And just keep moving. The more you're out there in the world, the more you see how messed up the world is, don't you? And I met some people this weekend. I thought, how could you be like that? You know, they were running their children down in front of their children, and their children in their 40s. You know, that's just rejection after rejection after rejection. We need to stop that kind of thing. And we need to have the love of Christ abiding within us. And like Christ, to have full, total, and complete control. It's important that we understand the danger of not being in the presence of God 24/7 at this given time. So many things going on in the world, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of the door. You want to be close to God at this given time. And you know, I just feel with everything, every fiber of my being, that if we as an individual stay close to God, and when everything really comes down, our loved ones that we're, and I'm trying to get loved ones into, our loved ones that we're trying to get in, they're going to rush to you and ask you, can this Jesus that you serve, can I serve him too? And I know right now it's hard trying to get your love, watching your loved ones go down the wrong road, but you don't have to go wandering behind them. You stay secure where you're at in Christ, and just know that you know that you know that God is in control of their life. And they're going to be okay, even though it doesn't look like it, but they're going to be okay. All right? God spoke this word to me for the teaching this morning. Father, right now there's something in the atmosphere that you're trying to do. And Father God, we remove the buffer right now that's keeping what you're trying to do away. We remove everything that separates and divides us from you, Father. We want to come up into that third heaven with you right now, sit at your feet, be taught in your heavenly realm. And Father, we just thank you for that the atmosphere is clearing over us and we can receive all that you have for us this morning. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. I'm just hearing God say there's a new move afoot in my churches. The enemy has snuck in. And he is doing a work of total destruction. You, my children, must stand tall and you must stand firm in your convictions to me. You can in no wise lean to the right nor to the left. You need to be understanding each and every day what I am telling you to do. I am asking each one of you, I'm inviting each one of you to spend quality time with me each and every day and get your instructions from the heavenly realm. The earth is turning dark, darker than it was yesterday. Tomorrow it'll be darker. Much destruction coming all across this land. But you people who know my name, who have stood in my presence many, many times throughout the years of your life, I am asking you this day to sink your feet into the rock and stay there. Do not allow the enemy to uproot you in any way, shape, or form. Hold on to my everlasting arm and never let go. I am your fortitude. I am all that you have need of. The world has absolutely nothing to offer you. The world is bankrupt. But the heavenly realm has all to offer you. Reach up right now and receive all that you have need of from my heavenly bank. I am your sufficiency. I am your all in all, and I will never fail you. I will never fail you. I will never falter nor fail you. Remember those words when the enemy comes to buffet you on all sides. I am your strong tower. I am the one that you should run into. I, the Lord thy God, who loves you so completely, who has bathed you with my tears many, many times, who has come and picked you up into my arms and comforted you when you thought nobody cared. It was I, your Father. And I am in this room this day. I am with you wherever you are at. And I am taking you into my arms right now. And I am saying, all is well with your soul. Andrew, God was saying to you this night, son, you are my leader, and I'm going to thrust you into this very center of the demonic realm. I'm going to thrust you there, son, and you are going to set my people free. You will have no fear of what the faces are saying. You will have no fear of anything that's going on around about you. For I, the Lord thy God, I am doing this work within you this hour. This is your time, son. I am bringing you. I have already brought you forth. And I am bringing you up higher than I've ever brought you before. You're going to have great visitations with your Father, son. You are going to come up into the heavenly realm repeatedly. And I'm going to give you instructions. And you will relay it to the world. This is your hour. This is your hour of total freedom. And I have already brought you forth. Now shine for your Father. Andrew, you already have the words in your heart that you know that God wants you to say to the people. And God said, hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. Just say everything that's in your heart that he wants you to say. This is your hour. I saw you standing even in the ghettos where the drug addicts are and the prostitutes. I saw you standing there and you were preaching the gospel with the glory of God all around about you. And nothing could touch you. Absolutely nothing. God is making you fearless right now. And those things you used to fear in the past, you will no longer fear. This is your hour. He has brought you forth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, God says, where can I go to find the elite? You say in ivory palaces, in fancy cathedrals, but I say no. I find the elite on the streets, in the ghettos, in the bars, in the gutters of this world. I search for these elite ones and bring them to my footstool for complete reconciliation into my heavenly kingdom. I nourish them, fill them with my love, teach them of my ways, and then send them forth to bring in the lost and the dying. These elite ones will not compromise in any way. They are well versed in my ways and the ways of the enemy. Their goal is souls at any cost. Deliverance is a must. They know the ropes and they are faithful. He didn't say he was going to go into the church and get the church people, did he? He's going to go into the highways and the byways. He's going to compel them to come in. He's been telling us that for years. Now, Webster's defines elite as the socially superior part of society. A group of persons who, by virtue of position or education, exercise much power or influence. That's what the world's idea of someone who is elite. One way we see Jesus exemplifying gentleness and lowliness is in his birth. Not only was he born into poverty, but he was born a tiny, helpless body, a baby. Now, I put that in there right there because I wanted you to see that Jesus was just like you and I. He was an elite. Not because he was God's son, but just because he was powerless, he was lowly, and he was born into poverty. All right? Jesus had to endure all the burdens of the flesh that we do. During Jesus' ministry, he chose to spend his time with the common people, with outcasts, and those often looked down upon. He didn't go into the king's palaces. He didn't go in where the well-known were. He was with the common people. I'm telling you guys right now, if you stop and think right now, who you've been fellowshipping with in the past, was it the elite, you know, of the world, or was it with the common people that follow Jesus? Well, they don't even follow Jesus. Or was it with the common people of the world? Think about that. You know, I thought about, as God was saying this, I thought about it when he called me into ministry, the elite of the world did not want me. They still don't. And God always sent me to the common people. And they accepted the gospel. Are you listening? All right, God loves the elite. However, his definition of elite is quite different from the world's view. God's definition of elite is those who are what we would call the people on the outskirts, the forgotten ones, ones pushed out from a group, the outcast, ones who are never chosen in life. That's God's view of an elite. You know why he can use the elite of the world? Let's say the common people. They don't have any preconceived notion of how great they are. They're just there. Sometimes they're wondering, why am I there? You know, what's my reason for living? Where the elite of the world think they are so wonderful and that we should bow down to them and they deserve all the wealth and everything that they have. Right? And God's not looking to them. He's looking to you and I, the common people, and he's calling us the elite, the elect of his kingdom. God loves the elite of the world just as much as he does the common people, but in the Bible there is a special place in God's heart for those who this world fails to recognize. God loves the lowly. And you can find that in Job 5:11. Psalm 136:23, and Luke 1:52. He loves the oppressed. You can find that in Psalm 19:9, Psalm 103:6, Luke 4:18. He loves the humble. You can find that in Zephaniah 3:12, Isaiah 29:19, and James 4:10. He loves the poor. You can find that in Luke 4:18, Matthew 5:3, and Jeremiah 20:13. One time I was praying and God said, daughter, the poor you will always have with you. In other words, you're always going to have those who are the common people who do not know Christ, and we have to show them Christ. So the poor, the common people who have never even heard that there is a Jesus, that's who you're going to be around. One time I was so surprised, this person was 45 years old. They had never heard the word Jesus. Never knew there was a person Jesus. And didn't even know there was a heaven nor a hell. I was surprised at that. And maybe you've run across people like that, but I never had before. But after that, I across a lot of people who told me the same thing. Why? Because they were common people. They were God's elite who nobody wanted. So nobody ever bothered to tell them about Jesus, about heaven, and about hell. All right. God loves the weary, the diseased, the sick, the broken, the scared, the discouraged, the widowed. These are all the ones God wants to touch, and he calls these his elite through his son Jesus. Why? Because of God's one outstanding, continual, ever-present, passionate goal of his heart. This one goal has been dwelling in his heart since the beginning of time. And what is that goal? Reconciliation. Gathering together a lost creation back to him, the Creator. When you pass, you know, a drug addict on the street, what do you think about them? Do you have compassion for them? Do you think, I'm so glad I'm not there? Do you hand them money? I do all that. Somebody was in the car one day and said, what are they going to do with that $20 bill? I said, I don't care. I don't care what they do with it. God just laid upon, I just feel sorry for that person. And I don't care how they got on the street. I really don't. Because as I look around the church, you know, I don't care how you got to where you were at either. The important thing is you finally found Christ. Somebody finally showed you Christ and brought you into the house of the Lord. We aren't to judge God's elite, the common people. We are to love them. We are to have compassion for them and show them grace and mercy, just like God did to you and I. Now, if God, and He is going to send the street people into the house of God, how are you going to minister to them if you're judging how they got where they're at? Well, you know, they're just an alcoholic. You know, we had an alcoholic come in here all the time. Well, they're just an alcoholic. No, that's a child of God. You don't know what caused that person to get in the situation they're in. You do not, unless God tells you. So why are you judging them? And you better watch how you judge, because you could end up a street, I just heard God say, a street person also. Amen. It's love. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. God convicted me of that one just a couple months ago when I went to talk about somebody, you know, in my own family about what they'd done. And God said to me, love covers a multitude of sins, daughter. In other words, He's saying, shut your mouth. You don't need to talk about that. And how many of you do that? Yeah, you know what so-and-so did? If you really had the love of Christ in you, you wouldn't be saying that. Are we listening here? Come on, this is part of our Gethsemane experience. This is part of our brokenness, part of what, you know, I have people come visit me, and every time they come, I start on this same subject. And you know, I said, God, why do I do that? He said, because you're still broken in an area. Give me that area, and you won't ever talk about it again. Are you listening? See, you need to understand there's a problem with you. Instead of always blaming on the other person. There's a problem with you that you keep harping on one thing over and over and over again. And this is where God, when He said we're in the garden of Gethsemane experience, and where He's trying to make us like Jesus, where we become broken, we say, okay, God, that's in your hands. I'm not ever going to talk about it again. Amen? Come on. All right. It is a great privilege to be handpicked by God Himself and given an opportunity of being in His elite group. Do you realize that? What a great privilege it is that God reached down, ministered to you, and brought you into His group of people when nobody else would have anything to do with you. Are you listening? This is important that you get this right now this morning, because if you have a ministry, if you don't walk in this, you're not going to have a ministry. You've got, and I'm hearing God say, you have to walk in the newness of life, which is right now. The new that's going on today. The world is corrupt. The church is corrupt. There's only a handful of people in the house of God, the houses of God that are not corrupt. And God is pulling them out of the corruption, and He's using them to minister to these lost souls that are on the streets right now. And I'm hearing God say, are you one of those that He's using? So I said, I feel like it's a great privilege that God chose me, a nobody, and raised me up to minister the gospel. Kept me all the days. I never went out and sinned, but He kept me. As He was raising me up to the perfect timing to use me. And now He's using me. And this is what, you might get upset over this, but I'm sorry, my allergies are acting up here. You might get upset with the big God. This is what God told me when I first opened a church. He said, daughter, I'm going to send to you those who nobody else wants to deal with. That they washed their hands of them or don't want to associate with them. I'm going to send them to you. And I'm going to use you to minister to them. And then I'm going to send them out to preach my gospel. And that's what he's been doing. He said, you will always have a swinging door. In other words, he'll send a group of people in. He'll minister to them for a season, send them out, send somebody else in. And that's the kind of church we have. And I understand that. And we do exactly what God tells us to do. All right. What kind of ministry do you have? Do you really know? Has God really told you? If he hasn't, you need to get before the Father's face and find out what kind of ministry you have so that you're walking where God wants you to walk and not doing your own thing. All right? You know, I really had a hard time with the service this morning, and God said to me, he said, you're going to have a problem today, or tomorrow, because it was yesterday. He said, the enemy's way working overtime in the atmosphere. You're going to have a great problem. Stay close to me. Are you seeing? All morning I've had a great problem. God knew what was going to happen in the atmosphere. He knew how the enemy was going to buffet, and so he warned me ahead of time. So I've been praying and keeping myself covered, keeping the church and service covered. That's the kind of God you serve. You know, the kind of God that will forewarn you of what's going to be going on so that you don't walk head on into a blank wall not knowing what to do. Why did he give a fast song service? Because he knew that the heaviness was going to be in the atmosphere and he wanted his people set free. He knew a soft praise and worship would not do it. So he sent a strong song service, one you could really enjoy, dance and leap with, you know. And you did, see, that was supposed to set you free so that the heaviness and the atmosphere did not keep you bound and you would not receive what God's trying to give to you. All right? All right, I said it's a great privilege. So please believe this. You girls are privileged. The night God pulled you apart and anointed you, that's a privilege. That was a great privilege. If you could just get that in your spirit, the enemy won't ever be able to tear you down ever again. People look at you and say, how's God ever going to use them? Well, just watch. This is what I say. Well, you just watch and see what God does for me. And God calls us the Philadelphia Church. And he says that the enemy that was coming against us was going to come and sit at our feet. You know? So what do we do? We just keep moving. We just keep moving. We don't sit down and stop because somebody looks at you and say, well, God can't use you. Smile to yourself. So, you just wait and see. You know? Just wait and see. Everyone has an opportunity to be in the crowd when it comes to God's definition. See, it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter where you're at. God wanted you and God chose you and God brought you into his kingdom and then he cleans you up. You know? We have the opportunity of being in that elite group. In the people in here, you have that opportunity to be in that elite group. The in crowd that includes you and me. Hey, we are special. I tell myself, boy, you're about the most special person in the world. I do because God says I am. He said, I'm the apple of his eye. And then what your word tells you. Then you are super special. You are the apple of his eye. And when the world comes against you, just smile to yourself and say, boy, devil, you keep round on buffeting because I'm not giving into that. I know who I am. And devil, you know who I am. And that's why you're coming against me. Every time he comes against me, I said, thank you. I say thank you to the devil for letting me see how much God loves me. If he didn't love me that much, you would leave me alone. Come on, you guys, what's your problem? The more the devil buffets you, that should prove to you how much God truly does love you. If God didn't have his hand upon you, the devil would leave you alone. Before I became born again, the devil never bothered me. Never. I wasn't a bad person, but he never bothered me. But once I became born again, all hell broke loose. Because he said, I need to stop her. Before she was just a good girl, now she's a dynamite. And she's going to blow my kingdom apart. Come on, that's the way it works. All right. And we during the praise and worship, Brother Allen was stomping his foot again. I said, thank you, God. I really missed that because that's when he stomps his foot, it sets the atmosphere free. Well, sets the floor free, you know. And it goes to the atmosphere. We have to understand who we are. We are just not people. We are God's chosen generation. And if you're a minister in here, you need to tell your people that. You need to quit letting them think they're just a person. They're not just a person. They're handpicked by God. They are a special person. How many of you have parents who put you down all your life, told you never amount to anything, nobody ever loved you? You had that in your spirit, and then Jesus picked you up, and you found out they were lying, and you were somebody special, and that you were lovable. You know, whatever the devil was telling you that you weren't is just the opposite. Okay, we see this again when Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people, you know, this being in his in crowd. When Jesus was speaking to a multitude of people from various backgrounds of life in Matthew chapter 5. There was all kind of people there when he was talking in Matthew chapter 5. God is pouring out this proclamation to all those who are listening. He wasn't looking at one person saying, I'm giving this all to you. He was talking to everybody in the crowd. Are you listening? Not everybody received it, but he was talking to everybody in the crowd. Jesus in chapter 4 went throughout Galilee teaching and preaching, healing and ministering. His fame increased to Syria, and great multitudes followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and Jordan. This crowd was full of the weary, broken, lowly, pure, and humbled. That's who followed him. There was a few Sadducees and Pharisees that were in the background, you know, doing their little sneering and stuff that they do. But the multitude of people that followed him were the poor and the lowly, you know. All right, what did Jesus say? He didn't even have a place to lay his head, did he? And what do you see? Now, and please, I don't care if you have a big house. I hope you do have a big house. Yeah, I hope you have 3 cars. I really do. But, you know, that is not what the goal is. The goal is not to see how big of a house you can get, how many cars are in your driveway, or even how many heads are in your church. Your goal is souls. Souls at all cost. I would love to have a brand new car. I really would. You know, I'd like to have a new home, too. I really would. But that is, you know, God's just not giving me that right now. And his whole thing with me is souls. So please, I'm not coming against you if you have all those things. You can give me one of your cars. Amen. All right. Who was it had 5 Mercedes sitting in their driveway all the time? I forgot who that was. Benny, I know he didn't have a 5-car garage. I love him. I can't think of his name. He had his daughter who was really into drugs. He's dead now. Can you think who he is? Her name is Sonia or something like that. Sona. Nobody knows who he is. Come on. All right. Well, if you think about it, you're yelling out. It's all right. But he did have 5 Cadillacs. He said, I didn't need 5 Cadillacs. Anyhow, he was well-to-do anyhow. He didn't need anybody to give him stuff. But the people in the church gave him these Cadillacs. All right? So I'm not coming against that. She said, there's nothing more lonely than money. She has some. That's why she said that. All right. These are Jesus' kind of people, those who he not only would call elite, but would make elite by their acceptance of him. You know, the poor, the lonely that was following him. These are the ones he calls the elite. You know, and whenever God called me, I said, God, I don't know how I can ever do this. He said, you're special in my eyes. My Holy Spirit will go with you. My Holy Spirit will speak for you. All right. Jesus then proceeds to share with the crowd how blessed they are. You know, this is where we're saying blessed are the poor in spirit. Despite their personal dire circumstances, the kingdom of God was right there for them to accept and receive. So I don't care what, you could be the richest person in the world, you could be the poorest person in the world, you could be the in-between, but you can accept Jesus Christ and become one of the elite. God does not have a problem with money. He does not. All right, that's why I don't either. All right, look at Jesus' 12 disciples. They were men of ordinary means, working as fishermen, a tax collector, and tax collectors were hated, weren't they? And a revolutionary among other occupations. And I tried to find, and they said they don't know what all their occupations were. Most of them were fishermen. Now, fishermen were pretty poor people, weren't they? But Jesus went along just walking and said, come follow me. Said the tax collector, come follow me. Went to the physician, come follow me. So he had all kind in his group. And that's what he's saying here to you today. You know, some of you might not even be really saved. You just might think you're saved. You've been walking all these years thinking you're saved. You might. Now, I'm not saying you aren't. But I'm just saying, see, we need to look at ourselves and say, God, is my thought life right? Do I think like Jesus thinks? Or do I think the way the world thinks? The reason why God wouldn't allow me to go to Bible school was because he said, I don't want you indoctrinated with men's thoughts. I want the Holy Spirit to teach you. And see, I guess when you go there, they have a lot of doctrine. But he never let me do that. The Holy Spirit is still teaching me. All right? It wasn't that I didn't, because I had somebody to pay my whole way to go to Bible college. But God said, no, I don't want you to do that. All right, Jesus' disciples were not the top of the crop, well-known men. They were poor, hated, and the disciples and apostles were, for the most part, men of little education. Now, I have a college education. Before I became born again, I had a really, really, really good paying job. I had a brand new car all the time. My closets were full of brand new clothes. They still are. But see, so I don't have anything about money. And I'm trying to get it through your head. It's not about money. It's about souls. It's about souls. All right. The disciples, they experienced much hardship, failings, and doubts during their following of Jesus. However, these men played an important part in spreading the word of Jesus Christ in Christianity. And if you read the Bible the way you should and let the Holy Spirit show it to you, you can see the disciples had a lot of doubt and fear and everything, fought among themselves, you know, and they had a lot of problems. But still, they were Jesus' elite. They were his group, his top 12 people. So yeah, I don't care what you try to make excuse for. Well, you know, I'm not educated. God doesn't care. All right. Well, I've never did any. I didn't never have done any public speaking. God doesn't care. Amen. Come on. If you ever go to college, you have to do oral communications. So you have done. You have done public speaking. Okay. Let's look at Moses. He stuttered. Right? These were all part of Jesus' elite. I came across this story, and listen to it closely. This reminds me of a story of a little poor boy in the 1800s who lived on the street like many orphans did at that time in England. Hungry, cold, dirty, and half-clothed with rags, his desperation for survival increased. He peered into the large windows to see inside a church, wanting to go in. He tried to go up the front steps and was turned down by the greeter, saying, "You cannot come in," he was told. "Why?" the boy responded with a timid voice. "Because you do not have the right clothes on," was the reply. Trying again, the little boy sneaked behind others, hoping that he could hide behind the cloak of another. The greeter took notice immediately and reached behind to grab him on his already torn shirt. "I said you cannot come in," the greeter said. Finally, feeling so defeated, he walked away slowly and stood near an alley crying. His shoulders stopped shaking from sobbing when a man gently touched him and asked, "Why are you crying?" The boy exclaimed with great distress the details of what had just taken place. As the boy was sharing what happened, he noticed this man was dressed in a three-piece suit, tall hat and cane, not a blemish of dirt on him. This man did not shudder at the cold because he had warm clothes, and he obviously did not go hungry, thought the little boy as he looked at his stomach. The boy concluded his story and sadly looked down. After listening to this story, this man took and held tightly the filthy hand of the little boy. He promptly guided him to the very same stairs that the little boy tried to sneak into. The greeter properly delivered a warm hello, sir, to the man while looking down at the little boy. As they entered the large wooden doors of this church, both walked in. The man had no fear or trepidation, and the little boy slowly began to stand tall next to him, walking in step, and his fear faded. They proceeded to go all the way to the front of the church. The man said, "Sit here on the very front row." The orphaned, dirty little boy in rags sat in the front row in the warm church in the seat of honor, only reserved for the elite. The man continued to walk to the front, stood behind the pulpit, began to give his sermon. The world turned the little boy away, but the Jesus and the pastor brought him in and set him in the place of honor in the very front row. When we was having revivals here all the time, there was an alcoholic who came into the service. He was dirty, he was unkempt, he reeked of alcohol, and he'd always sit in the front row. And he would sing and everything, and everybody said, "Why do you allow him in here?" And I said, "He's one of God's children. We don't turn anybody away." And finally, I don't know what happened to him, but he left an alcoholic, but he heard all about Jesus in the months that he stayed here. Now, and he sat right in the front row. And they said, "Well, why don't you make him sit back?" I says, "No, he can sit wherever he wants to sit. You know, who are you anyhow to judge somebody else like that?" My reply always is, "Thank you, Father, that I do not walk in their shoes." Right? I would not want to walk in a lot of shoes that the world walks in, would you? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to go through. Have you ever watched a drug addict, really? They're not living. You know, they need that next high. And when they're high, they're not living. They can't even concentrate. I have drug addicts in my home that I watch. Pray every day, "God, please deliver them." It's sad to watch. You watch a healthy human being brought down to absolutely junk. And they think that's living. I don't really think they think that's living. They just need that next fix, because if not, they're going to be deathly ill. And they just don't want to be that sick, so they have to go for the next fix. One time a pastor told me, you need to not allow one of your children in your home. And I went, and I was the deacon in the church, and I went home crying because it was my child, and I didn't want to put him out on the street. And I took it before the father, and the father said, "Daughter, if you don't love them, the world will, and the world will destroy them." And I told the pastor that, and I said, "I can't put them out." And he said, "That's okay. You do. I know you hear God. You do what God's telling you to do." You know, we need to stop. We're supposed to be a hospital, right? We need to stop not being a hospital. We need to minister to those that God sends into the house. You don't understand this, but we know that every service, God knows exactly who he's going to send in here. And when the people come in, God always has the message to minister to them. We don't try to do our own thing. We do God's thing, right? And when I saw you people up here dancing, I said, "God, this has been a cry of my heart to God. God, fill the altar with dancing. Let the people get out of their seats and come and dance." Because God loves it when you dance before the Lord. He loves that. He just loves it. And you know what, guys? Let God touch your feet. Let him teach you how to dance. Let him teach you how to just let that joy bubble up and come forth and get out there and just lose all reserve and just let God use you. My heart's cry is, God, let me dance again. And it's coming. It's coming. God's going to do that. But in the meantime, I don't go in a corner and sit down and cry, you know. I keep moving with God and keep doing what God's telling me to do. And God is well able. Like we talked Wednesday night, you know, we had all the miracles, you know, raised the dead, raised the dead dog, you know, God, his anointing did all that. And here I am sick, and people say, well, that's the case, how come you're sick? And I said, God knows all things, you know. So it doesn't matter what people are saying about me. I know who God is. Do you know who God is? Do you really know who God is in your life? Do you really know what he can do and will do? And do you know that he orders your footsteps? Amen. He orders your footsteps. Does he? Does he? The word says he does, but I'm asking you, does he order your footsteps? I wouldn't want to be caught standing in front of God and walk in my own footsteps. I think he'd be upset when he popped me on the head. Amen. Say, why didn't you check with me today before you did that? Let him order your footsteps. The hardest thing you can do being a child of God is loving the unlovable. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because the minute you try, you pour your heart into them, they hurt your heart again. And God says we're supposed to love the unlovable. When you can love the unlovable, you have passed an ultimate test. When you can pour your love into somebody and they keep smacking you in the face and smacking you in the face, you know, and you know, God said, turn the other cheek, you know, 70 times 7. And I heard a pastor say, that's one day. But as you pour your love into that person, eventually you're planting a seed to begin with. And you might not see that seed grow, but somebody else is going to water it, and that seed is going to grow. That person is going to be saved. You don't understand what they did to me. I really don't care, because you don't understand what people put me through either. You know? What are you in this for? Are you in this for being patted on the back and treated like you're a queen or a king? Or are you in this thing to be like Jesus was, and Jesus went through whatever he had to do to go to the cross and die for you and I? I think our biggest problem is we want to be acknowledged. We want everybody to treat us really nice. That isn't going to happen. One day God told me, you go into the Word, read everything that happened to my son Jesus, then come back and talk to me. And you all know the rest of the story. I never went back and talked to God, because Jesus, I was going through the same things Jesus was going through, and he went through far worse things than I went through. And so that's the same way with you. We say we're just like Jesus, and why do you complain when you have to suffer like Jesus did? Are you listening? You're going to suffer if you're going to follow Christ. I read somewhere where it said last night, I read where somebody said that Satan always gives you what you want first. I might even be going to teach it tonight, I forgot. And then in the end, you know what it is. Jesus doesn't give you one at first, what you want at first. He gives it to you. He saves the best for the last. Satan gives you the best first. Jesus saves the best for the last. He grows you. And whenever you're grown up, then he gives you what you can handle. All right. God is calling his elite this morning, those who are castaways, forbidden to sit in the front row, those who have been put down by society and discarded, to come forth and take your rightful place in his kingdom, a place reserved for only the elite. And God, I said, God is in it. Well, I said the others too. God is in a time of reconciliation. A reconciliation has much to do with transformation. It's the moving from a place of separation, hurt, and brokenness to a place of healing, wholeness, forgiveness, and reunion. And God's trying to do that with the body of Christ. He's trying to take us out of that brokenness stage back into the stage of wholeness once again in Him. And, you know, it's only as we as ministers know the truth ourselves and then not be afraid to teach the truth to set the others free. You're going to stand before God one day and be held accountable for what you did not teach the people. And y'all know that the pastors around here told me when I first started years ago that people loved me and I'd have the biggest church around here if I quit preaching a hard gospel. I don't preach a hard gospel. I preach the true gospel. I'm not going to let you think that you can sin and still go to heaven because you're not. I've been to hell. God took me there to let me see what kind of torment you're going to be through. And I don't want nobody to go to hell. I really don't. How about you? Maybe God needs to take you to hell just so you can see what people are going to go through if they go to hell. All right. He even took me to hell one time to show me myself. If I got into gluttony, you know, I was just a real fat, I feel like a little fat butterball right now, with just a little, you know, ball on top of my head. And I was screaming for food. I was taking food, shoving it in my mouth, throwing it up. No, I don't want it. Yeah, I want it. No, I don't want it. It was pure torture. And he said, that's what you'll go through throughout eternity. But he did that to show me never get into gluttony. It's my health that's causing the issues I have now. But, you know, if you're into gluttony, you'll go to hell. I don't care what kind of excuse you use here on earth. You're going to go to hell because God showed me that. And it was me. Yeah, I can't deny it wasn't me. But it was me down there doing my thing. And at that time, I was fasting all the time. All the time. But God knows exactly what Satan will tempt you with. All right. So leaders, are you really leaders? Are you really true pastors, ministers of the truth of the gospel? Or are you just tickling the people's ears so you can keep a big church? God's not going to say to you, how big was your church? I went to a pastor's meeting. I've told this before. And they said to me, how big was your church? I said, we have five. Nobody talked to me the rest of the meeting. Everybody else had big churches. They didn't want to talk to me. They only had five. But, you know, we've always had the anointing. So what do you want? Do you want the anointing or do you want 1,000 people? And God's promised me a bigger church, but I don't care. But God really wants to minister to some of you ministers in here this morning. And he wants to know, do you want to be his elite? Or do you want to be the church's elite? In other words, do you want all of Christ and one day sit in heavenly places? Or do you want to be down here in this earth pacifying the church and then go to hell when it's all over with? Amen. I want you to know God does take care of me through the people. He really does. I really don't lack anything. I just have people who love me. And ministers, I'll tell you right now, God will place people in your midst who love you. And those people will take care of you. They really will. And what you need to do is sit at the Father's feet. And allow him to minister to you so then you can go forth and minister to the people. God, what God is saying, he says, I'm trying to take you one step higher this morning. I don't want you on the step you're on now. I want to take you one step higher. I don't care what you're ministering in. God wants one step higher. So the altar is open this morning to go that one step higher in Christ and be his elite. Be his elite. Not what the world calls elite. We have some of the best ministers out there that, you know, have everything. And I listen to them. I love them. That's where God called them. This is where God's called me. But God did tell me one time, so listen to this, ministers. He said, the reason why you don't have a bigger church is because you had the wrong people around you. You have to have the right people around you so that God can exalt you. All right. In other words, I had people in the upper, in the inner circle that weren't for me. They were against me. So God could never bless. So that's another thing you ministers need to know about. Make sure the ones you have with you are not yes people, but they are for you and not against you. You don't need yes people around you. You really don't. You need people who is full of the Holy Spirit, who are listening to God, and who will come to you and say, you know, that God told me that I need to tell you this. And they'll do that in love, you know. And then you'll know if it's God or not. So please do that too. Make sure you have the right people around you so that God can bless everybody. All right, the altar's open. If you want to go one step higher with God, because you are the elite, God's elite, not the world's, but God's elite.